Okay, so the last 2 weeks we're looking at Rebecca's pregnancy. And today we're going to look at Jacob's blessing. We know the story of how Jacob deceived and so forth to get the blessing of his father. Took his brother's birthright and then connived to get the blessing. Yet it was all the while the will of God for Jacob to have the blessing. Lord, help us to know we don't have to connive to get what you've already, Amen. What you've already said is ours. Amen. Oh, Lord. Oh, I pray. My God. Do you know how often Paul prayed that you would know what's yours? Do you know how often he prayed that? Is it in Ephesians chapter 1, that great apostolic prayer? He says, I pray since hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus. I ask the Father of glory that he would give you a spirit of wisdom and knowledge, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you would know the hope of his calling you, that you would know the inheritance, the riches of the inheritance, of his inheritance in the saints. And he went on, he began to talk about, Ephesians chapter 3, he talked again about, he says, I'm praying that you would know the love of Christ that passes your ability to know it. But I'm praying that you would know it. And he began to pray this. And listen, beloved, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what God is doing. All this, all of our existence, all of our time in this life, knowing him. He's bringing us ever closer to that. But, beloved, in eternity, he's going to throw back the curtain on it. He's going to just put it on display for you and I. Oh, it's just a wonderful thing. So my prayer for you, my prayer anytime I think about the church of God, the church of the living God, his saints, is that, Lord, help us to know what is ours. Help us to know what is ours in Christ. Father, we thank you now for your word as we come to it. Holy Spirit, I thank you that the word and the spirit always agree. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of your spirit, that our hearts would be open, minds clear. Lord, that we would hear and receive what you are saying to us. Lord, we need to hear every word that proceeds out of your mouth, because by it we live. By it we move and have our being. So, Lord, let us hear today. Let us be transformed. Let us be renewed, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, so only a few verses today. Genesis 28 starts with, now then, you know, Jacob has deceived his father with the help of his mother, gotten the blessing, and now we have here another blessing. Let me read it just to give you an idea. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. I'm going to stop right there, only because you would think that after the younger son, now these when it says son, they're in their 40s. At least when this went on, you would think that the father would be upset. Son, how could you do this to me? I mean, for real, how could you lie to me? You lied. You told me you think. But the scripture says that Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. Why? Well, because by this time, Isaac has repented from his favoritism of Esau. Isaac has seen the light. Isaac now knows that though Jacob connived to get the blessing, Jacob was the one who was to receive the blessing all along. I told you before that the angel of the Lord told Rebekah, the Lord said to Rebekah, the mother, that the older is going to serve the younger. And that was the way it always was before they were even born. But for some reason, Isaac, you know, kicked against that and preferred and was going to give the blessing to Esau. Jacob steals the blessing. And now we come to verse 1 of 28. And it says that Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. We're going to look at this blessing. But not only that, he charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. What's interesting is that Esau had already taken two wives from the daughters of Canaan. Why? You know, what's the big prohibition? You know, well, if we remember Lot. Lot left Abraham and went and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it would seem as though, because Lot didn't say anything about Lot being married when he was with Abraham, it would seem as though that Lot married a woman from Canaan. And it was Lot's wife, if you remember, who was so tied to Canaan that she had to look back in disobedience to the word of the Lord, and she lost her life. Remember, Abraham told his servant, go to the house of my father and get a wife for my son. Do not let him marry one of these women. So Abraham told him that. And so now we see Isaac charging Jacob and saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Now, look, God had given no command for them not to marry the women of Canaan, but the patriarchs knew. The patriarchs wanted to preserve the godly heritage that they had, the godly line. The Canaanites were what? Idolaters. The Canaanites worshiped everything. Worshiped the sun, the moon, some more gross things, other gross things, I would say that. And so Isaac charges Jacob, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. As I said, Esau had already married two women, and they were grieving Isaac and Rebekah. Why? Because these women were idolaters. They didn't know the true God. They didn't want the true God. They wouldn't wait for the true God. And so in that light, Esau distanced himself from his parents. So Isaac tells Jacob, now arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. Let me say this about more about the reason why Isaac would have charged Jacob so. One commentary says this: the Canaanite people were a mixed breed. They incorporated dozens of groups and clans into their society by treaties and marriages. You know, back in the day, as even it has been in current times, that a marriage would cause two enemies to become friends. They would seal treaties by marriage. There would be warring factions, one at the other's throat, but if they had a marriage between a son of a king and a daughter of a king, all of a sudden, now, well, we're family now, so everything's okay. Solomon did that when he married the daughter of Pharaoh. And so it goes on and says, the family of Abraham would resist such mixing of marrying into these families. The reason for marrying within the clan was a desire for maintaining purity of the line and being loyal to one's family. The surest way to lose tribal distinction was to intermarry with people of mixed elements. Moses, telling the Israelites again and again that their ancestors resisted marriage to the Canaanites, certainly sounded a note of warning. To marry Canaanites would destroy the purity of the line, to be sure, but more importantly, it would destroy the purity of the Israelites' faith. If you remember in Numbers chapter 23, when Balak called Balaam to curse Israel, and God would not allow Balaam to curse Israel. But when it was all done, Balaam counseled Balak, well, just have the women go in there and mix with the men. Just invite them to your sacrifices. You know, and they have a meal, and then they would run off and play together. And it was one of the princes of Israel who ran in with Cosby, the daughter of a Midianite king. Yeah. And it was Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest. He runs in with a spear, and he pierces both of them through, kills them. Why? Because that woman was causing the men of Israel, these women were causing the men of Israel to leave the Lord and go whoring after other gods. And God said, I won't have it. And he dealt with it. And so we see it in Moses' day as it has to do with the purity of the nation, but we see it here in the patriarch's time. And so verse 3, he goes on, and we come now to the blessing. See, Isaac blessed Jacob twice. Not once, but twice. And what I wanted to look, I wanted to look at this second blessing because of the detail that it goes into, because of what it mentions. Let me read the first blessing. If you remember, Isaac said to Jacob when he was deceiving him, he said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." That was the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob when he thought he was giving it to Esau. But when you look at this second blessing, let me read it. "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham." Bingo for me. He didn't mention the blessing of Abraham in the first blessing. Brothers, sisters, the blessing of Abraham was huge. I mean, the blessing of Abraham in one phrase is this: Jesus Christ, period. That was the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham was initiated by God. The blessing of Isaac was initiated by God. The blessing of Jacob was initiated by God. But he doesn't stop there. He says, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. The first blessing mentioned nothing of inheriting land. Okay, so I wanted to go a little bit more into this, and you know, this next point I'm going to share with you, if you get nothing else, and I've preached this before, but I come to learn that things need to be said over and over and over and over again. This first line in verse 3 says this: "May God Almighty bless you." Stop. May God Almighty bless. How many of you want to be blessed?
By God Almighty.
Every one of us here wants to be blessed. I'll go even farther and say every one of us here needs to be blessed. Okay? And listen, Jacob, he connived the birthright. He stole the blessing. But you know, he didn't really know what he was after. He knew the physical and the temporal advantages of being the firstborn. Obviously, you get double portion over your father's house, you get land, all this. But he had no clue of what God had planned. Absolutely no clue of what God had planned. So if God doesn't bless Jacob, there is no hope of Jacob's life producing anything towards the blessing of Abraham. The blessings for the Jews in the Old Testament are clear. When we think about the Old Testament Jews, what do we think about? Well, they had a nation. They had a dynasty. They had abundance. They had protection. They had divine deliverance. They had miracles. They had healings. They had prophets. They had the word of the Lord. They had the presence of God. They had the Shekinah glory. They had the tent, or the cloud of glory by day and the fire by night for 40 years in the wilderness. The Jews, in terms of the blessing that would come upon them, the blessing that's being prophesied here, may God Almighty bless you. All those blessings are clear. That they had inherited a land that flowed with milk and honey. When you come to the New Testament, when the Messiah was to come, the Jews were looking for a Messiah who would take Israel back to all that I just mentioned about the Old Testament. Right? We're going to have a dynasty. The sons of David are going to sit on the throne again. The Messiah is going to come. He's going to throw off the yoke of the Romans. And we're going to reign. That's why they wanted to take Jesus and make him king by force. Because they said, that's why Simon the Zealot was one of the disciples of Jesus. Because, you know, not only did Jesus choose him, but he's one of those hot-haired ones, you know, and the sons of thunder being John and his brother James. I mean, Jesus is going to restore things here. The disciples, you know, the disciples didn't know. They didn't know why Jesus was there. They knew he was there. He did a lot of miracles, but they didn't know why he was there. So when they were in the garden, Jesus said in the garden, after the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, let him who has one sword or a coat buy it and get two. And Peter says, we're ready. We got swords. Why did Peter take his sword? Because they thought we're going to fight our way out of this because we got to save the Messiah who's going to restore Israel. That's what they thought. Literally. The disciples. They didn't know he was going to die, be dead for 3 days, and rise again on the third day. They had no clue. It wasn't until after that that Jesus opened up their understanding. They understood the scriptures, and they're like, oh, wow. You see, because we look back and we think that they understood all. No, they had no idea. They had no idea. So they think that Jesus has come to restore all things as it was in the Old Testament, the blessing of God. Let me show you. Man, I tell you, wasn't one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Of course, we all got many favorite verses, right? It's the one I'm reading right now. This is a bit of a favorite verse. But let me show you. So I've showed you, talked to you about Old Testament blessing, and it was glorious and it was wonderful. But let me show you New Testament blessing. Acts chapter 3, verse 24 through 26 reads this way. Peter is preaching to the Jews after the day of Pentecost, or during the day of Pentecost, in that whole 50-day period. He's preaching to them, and he says this. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets. He's talking to Jews now. Those sons of the prophets. Remember, I said one of the things the prophets had, the Jews had in the Old Testament, they had prophets. They had the word of God. They had all these things. He says, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham. Now, here, Peter now is going to jump all the way back into the book of Genesis. He's going to grab a scripture and bring it all the way forward into the New Testament to show that God has been working throughout human history to bring about this event. And he says, he talks about the sons of the prophets of the covenant which God made to our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Okay, now watch this. Verse 26, to you first. Who's first? The Jews, and after that, the Gentiles, right? The gospel came to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. He says, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him, listen, to bless you. Now, we're talking about Jacob's blessing. We're talking about what Isaac prophesied over Jacob. He said, may God Almighty bless you. That was the beginning of the blessing, was when God gave the promise to Abraham. He says, in blessing you, I'm going to bless you. He says, in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Now, let me tell you what the nature of that blessing is. The nature of that blessing is not 3 houses, 10 cars. What's the boy's name? Pacquiao, who he gonna fight? Floyd Mayweather. He got 100 cars. He got a pray. Come on now. Thank you. He got 100 cars. And he needs Jesus. He needs Jesus. Because no car can satisfy in here. God didn't make it that way. No airplane. He got a $20 million jet. But none of that can satisfy in here. So he's trying to buy all this stuff and stuff it in here, and it's not working. No person out here can fill, only the person of the Holy Spirit. All right, okay, let me stop. He said, Peter is explaining thousands of years of history in this verse. Having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. How does he bless you? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. When Isaac said, may God bless you. Yeah, Jacob was thinking about flocks and land and this and that. And that's true. God did all of that temporally in the nation of Israel. But he did all of that so that he could bring who? Jesus Christ. So that what could happen? All the families of the earth could be blessed. How? By winning the lottery? No. By getting 3-4 cars? No. But by being blessed to have Jesus turn us away from our iniquities. Now watch this. The scripture says that one of the pillars of the faith and the 6 founding principles of the doctrine of Christ is repentance from dead works and faith toward God. When God turns you away from your iniquities, guess who he turning you to? He's turning you to himself. He's turning you to himself. So when to be truly blessed, beloved, you know, when your TV's on and you're watching all these people and they got all, you know, they got all this stuff and everything, and you're looking at them. I used to look at them and think, man, they sure got nice stuff, and they do. But now I look at them and say, Jesus, they're not blessed. They are not blessed. Come on. They're running in all of their iniquity. They don't know that stuff, you're going to die in your sins, die in your iniquity, and not know the blessing of Christ. Beloved, every day, this is not a one-time event. This is an ongoing process where the Holy Spirit is constantly turning you and I away from our iniquity. Turning you and I away from our iniquity. It's a lifelong process that's going on in you and I and every day. And therefore, we are blessed and highly favored. Hello? Blessed and highly favored. Why? Because he favored us. This blessing that Jacob received, he didn't get it because he was deserving of it. He didn't get it because he earned it. He got it because God chose him before he ever took his first breath. God said, I'm blessing you. He said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Hello? You and I didn't earn the blessing. Hello? We don't deserve it. But every day we're blessed. We're blessed by him working in us and turning us away from our iniquities to the fullness of who he is. So he says that may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Every line of this blessing, the result of it is Jesus. Make you fruitful and multiply you. God did that you may be an assembly of peoples. We know that Jacob had 12 sons. By 4 different women. But the first wife that he had, the one who wasn't loved, the one that he didn't love, God said, yeah, see, we think we for the underdog. God has always taken the least likely. He liked the least likely person. And so Leah, the ones whose eyes were weak, Bible says Rachel was a drop dead knockout. I mean, she was beautiful in form and in appearance. I mean, she not only had beautiful eyes, she had the full package. But Leah, she gave birth to Reuben, to Simeon, to Levi, and then her last one, Judah. Judah. Now, Jacob, you may have chosen Rachel, but I've chosen Leah. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you blessed and all that, but you've chosen and gone after Rachel. But I'm choosing Leah because I'm not only blessing you temporally, I'm blessing you so that I can bring my eternal son into the earth to bless all the families of the earth. And Jesus Christ came through Judah. Through Leah, the one who was unloved. Oh, beloved, oh, Lord, help us. I was telling somebody yesterday, if they're treating you wrong, don't take it to heart. Don't take it to heart. Just continue to love. Just continue to walk with God. Let God set it straight. Let him order it. Let him fix it. Amen? Okay. And so he says, and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of people. Now, we know that Israel multiplied and became a great nation. But this word, assembly, let me read what Adam Clark's commentary says. There's something very remarkable in the original words. They signify literally for an assembly, a congregation or church or church of peoples. referring no doubt to the Jewish community in the wilderness, but more particularly to the Christian community composed of every kindred and nation and people and tongue. In this blessing that Isaac blessed Jacob with was language that pointed beyond the Jewish nation, but that pointed to people who were made up of every kindred, tongue, language, and people. It was pointing to the church of our day, as many would come and be saved and added to the church. And so he goes on in verse 4, he says, and give you the blessing of Abraham. So powerful to me that he mentioned the blessing of Abraham. As I said before, this wasn't mentioned in the first blessing that we saw. Do you know what the blessing of Abraham is? Let me read it to you. It comes out of Genesis chapter 12. When God first appeared to Abraham and he said this, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Let me read that again, because we constantly need to be reminded of the Abrahamic blessing. Why? Listen, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Everybody good with that? Oh, yes. Bless me, Jesus. And make your name great. Listen, here it is. And you shall be a blessing. Listen, help me with this. I'm going to say it. You're going to finish it. Why are you blessed? Thank you. Let me say it again. Why are you blessed? To be a blessing. Why does God bless anyone? For them to be a blessing. But we can get it mixed up. We can get it. Come on, Jesus. And you go to any church and say, anybody here want to be blessed? Let me tell you, the hands are going up now. But the reason why the hands are going up, come on now. Y'all know you got flesh just like I got flesh. Amen. I want to be blessed so I can kick back. Amen. If I don't want to go to work, I'm not going to go to work. If I just want to sit around and do nothing, I'm going to sit around and do nothing. That's not why God blessed you. He blessed Abraham so that Abraham could in turn be a blessing. It is more blessed to give. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. The only place in scripture where Jesus said something wasn't recorded in the Gospels, but Peter got it. Luke got it in Acts chapter 20, 35. He said, our Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Wait a second. But Jesus, I want to be blessed. That means I'm receiving. No. He flipped the script. He said, no, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, help us in our concept of blessing. Help us in our motivation of blessing. I was telling the children on the way to work, on the way to church today, we almost went out of business in 2009. And I had to put in measures, austerity measures, if you know anything about Greece and heard all that talk. They keep talking about austerity, this, or narrowness. It means, you know, you're going to pull everything back. Stop spending all this. And so I had to do that. And I had to do that for the space of about 5 years, which means I took no income from my business. For 5 years. That means I went to work every day and worked like a dog and got no money for it. Anybody in for that? Oh, no, oh, no. No anybody in for that. But, yeah, I'm telling you where it is. But I paid all the debt off. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. So this year, I took some money. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah, feel good, don't it? Yes, it does. But let me tell you what the real blessing is. I get to tithe again. I sat down wrote out a check. I said, Jesus, thank you that I get to give again. Because there's nothing like giving. There's nothing like this. It's more blessed to give. It's something supernatural about it. Because I'm saying, Lord, I didn't know it was, I'm missing this. I want to write this out. Glory to God. I want to give it. Why? Because you gave it to me and I'm going to give it to you. I want to be a blessing. That's what Isaac was bringing into Jacob's life when he said that God would give you the blessing of Abraham. And went on to say, he says, I will, Genesis 12, the last part of the blessing that God spoke to Abraham, said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so back over to Genesis 28, verse 4, he says, to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land. Again, that's part of the Abrahamic blessing, or the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 7. And 8, it reads that then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, now in the first blessing that I just read to you, he didn't say anything about land. He just said, I will make you a great nation. I'll make your name great. I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. But in verse 7, it says that the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to your descendants, I will give this land. And where are the Jews today? They're on that land. And people come and try and uproot them, and they're trying. They keep fighting against Israel. I would not want to be in that number. If you watch, when Israel has a battle, if you watch, it's just like the Old Testament. Just watch. When the Palestinians, when they went and had that war with Gaza, Gaza lost like 2,500 people. Israel, like 30. And they keep talking about it. They say, why is this? I said, well, just read the Old Testament. It was always that way. I mean, why? God's fighting for Israel. He has a purpose. I wouldn't want to be against him. In the first blessing that Isaac blessed Jacob with, there was no promise of inheriting the land. But in this blessing in chapter 28, which I just read, that he said that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. God gave the land to Abraham. Everything about this blessing is God's doing and not Jacob's. Everything. That God Almighty bless you, make you fruitful, make you an assembly, give you a blessing. On and on, all of this is about what God is doing. Nothing has to do with Jacob. And as we just said, because Jacob couldn't earn it or deserve it after the life that he had just led. It's a picture of God choosing one who was not worthy. Sound familiar? A picture of one. Somebody used to sing a song, I don't know why he died. I don't know why he gave his life for me. Oh, but I'm glad. That's Andre Crouch, right? So glad he did. Something to that effect. Okay, now, verse 5, so Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban, the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob, and Esau. Verse 6, Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also, Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father. Now, before it said that the daughters didn't please Rebekah, but here we learn that neither did the daughters please Isaac. When he saw this, it says, Esau went to Ishmael, the firstborn, the first son of Abraham, and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives that he had. So in other words, Esau is now trying to come into the good graces of his father by marrying a woman who was the granddaughter of Abraham. The problem with that is that the angel said to Sarah and to Abraham, in Isaac shall your seed be called, not in Ishmael. Ishmael didn't carry the blessing. He didn't have the promise. Isaac had it, and it had passed on to Jacob. So to no avail does Esau marry this, the granddaughter of Abraham. So he vainly tries to endear himself to his parents by marrying Abram's granddaughter, but it carried no weight at all. Let me close with a testimony. As I was cleaning carpet this past week, I love what I see going on here in the scripture, and I saw a picture of it this past week as I was cleaning carpet, because you have to understand, when we read in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we read the whole creation story, and we see how God made everything perfect. Ecclesiastes says he makes all things beautiful in his own time, and he puts us here, gives us a command, and we break the command, and now sin has passed to every man and been destroyed, destroyed God's perfect order of things. God then comes by his own initiation and has this plan to bring about redemption for all, to bring about redemption for all who would believe, all that he's chosen. And so we see this great work that he's doing, been doing all throughout the scriptures. All of this points to one person. I tell you, I say that all the time. It points to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I was cleaning carpet, at the end, time to collect the bill, we're standing there talking, and a woman says something. She says, oh, Jesus, help me, or something like that. And you know how it is when you hear Jesus. You know, you wonder, you know, where are you with Jesus? So I dove in. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got to talking and so forth. And she is a Christian. She is a Christian. We got to pray before. I said, let me pray for you before we leave, you know. But what was interesting was that no one in her family knew Christ when she was young. She wasn't raised in church. Most people here, you know, have someone in church, someone, you know, that. But no one in her family knew Christ. They didn't go to church, nor was she raised in church. She told me about remembering that she got saved in her 30s. But also she remembered being younger and going with some high school friends to see what was a movie back in that day, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And she remembers, she said, you know, when we went to that movie, we're sitting in the movie and my friends are laughing and scoffing and just having a time. She says, I'm sitting there in tears. She says, I'm looking at she says, this man did this, this happened. I don't know anything about this. And while she's talking, it's easy to see the hand of God come into a family where no one knew. I'm telling you what Jesus is doing in the earth, what he's always been doing, what he's doing right now, and then what we are to do. Because God was reaching into this family and working his work in this home. And she began to tell me how she eventually came to Christ, and was telling me about her mom and her dad, and how her dad was on his deathbed, her mom was on her deathbed, and she went in and prayed, and for her to know Jesus. She's like, Lord, I don't want my mother to, my mother needs to know you. And her dad came in with her to pray, and when they left, her dad was upset with her, because her dad said, you didn't pray for her to be healed. You prayed all of this other stuff, but you didn't pray for your mother to be healed. She said, and she's like, Dad, mom needs to know Jesus. Dad didn't know Jesus either. But that day, or the next day, the pastor came to visit her mother, and her mother gave her life to Christ. And so we're talking, right, and all this, and I'm listening to this testimony, and all, you know, there's all kinds of scriptures flowing through my mind as she's talking about, as I'm thinking about the goodness of God, to like the hound of heaven who chases us down. We're running in the opposite direction, and he's coming. His love is pursuing us, you see. And so I thought about Psalm 74, verse 12. I remember reading this psalm when I first got saved, and I thought to myself, there he is. He says, for God, David speaking, for God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. What's God doing today? He's working salvation in the midst of the earth, in the midst of the earth, right? Then Acts 13:48 came to me. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Listen, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. As many as who had been appointed. You see, the reason why Jacob got the blessing from Isaac was because he originally got the blessing from God. You can't get from man if God don't give it to you. You can't get it from anybody else. God has to give it to you first. You're saved today not because you got up and responded to an altar call. Hello. You know Jesus today not because you were the smart one and figured it out. Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but my Father who is in heaven. And so the reason why any of us are saved is because God was working and then man did his work. What's God's work? He's saving people. He's saving people everywhere. Everywhere. Remember I say God first, us second. It's always God first. If God doesn't work, we can't work. But God is working. What is he doing? He's saving people. What are we to do in response to what God is doing? Well, he tells us what we're to do. We're to share the good news. We're to preach the gospel. Do you know why people get saved when we share the gospel? Because God is already at work saving them. If God wasn't at work saving them, when we preach, nothing would happen. Because God's always first. He said, I'm the first. I'm first. So because I'm working in people, I tell you to go and preach. Listen, I got news for you. When the scripture says go and preach the gospel, when the scripture says share what you know, it's because, listen, all the weight is not on us. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm so afraid. What if they don't? Listen, the what if is his. It's not ours. He's working, bringing people to himself. All we have to do is preach. All we have to do is tell them about the love of Jesus. Because they can't come to Christ if Christ doesn't come to them. So the pressure's not on us. Pressure's not on you. Just share the good news. Just share what you know about God and let God save them. Let God save them. Why do I say that? Because of 1 Corinthians. It says that for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. God is saving people every day. But how is he doing it? He does it when we preach, when we share the word. He allows people to be saved. He's allowed us to be included in the process. He says, just go out and declare. Just go out and declare the truth, and I'll see to it that people get saved. Is that right? Had a neighbor just the other day. I thought I sensed in the spirit. Just walking, you know, a lot can happen on a walk from the mailbox to your front door. Hello. You're just out getting the mail. And my neighbor was walking across, was on the other side of the street. And I looked over at her and said, how you doing? She says, I'm doing good. How you doing? And I said, fine. But in that brief moment, I felt like a little tinge, like she wanted more. She wanted more. I said, Lord, I'm going to have to go and wait on that and see what else is there. Because I'm praying for them, you see. And so who knows? I know this. God is working every day in the hearts of people that they might be saved. Then he says to you and I, now I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you as you open up your mouth and declare the truth about who I am to see that people come to Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for the blessing of Jacob, for the blessing of Isaac, for the blessing of Abraham. You said that you've blessed us that we might be a blessing. Lord, we indeed want to be a blessing, oh God. Lord, to all of those in our sphere of influence, Lord, that our words, that our deeds, Lord, that which you're doing in us would be a blessing to others. And so, Lord, as you bless Jacob, not simply for his own good, but for the good of all the peoples of the earth, all the families of the earth. So then, too, Lord, we recognize that we have the blessing of Abraham as children of Abraham, as children of faith. We have that blessing upon our lives. So now, Lord, I pray, bless, oh God, even more so now. Bless your people. 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 Let that blessing, oh God, endure and expand, Lord. And so, Lord, reach out, Lord, from us, oh God, that we would indeed be a blessing in our neighborhood, a blessing on the job, a blessing in the marketplace, at the gym, and wherever we find ourselves, Lord, that blessing would flow, Lord, not only to us, but through us and from us to others, that out of our belly would flow a river of living waters, that whatever dead ground it would touch, whatever dead heart it would touch, oh God, that life would spring up, that life would come and be realized, oh God. Lord, that your house might be full. Lord, that your house, oh God, might be full of glory. Lord, with those who love and appreciate and know you. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. And amen.